I tell you the thought process how I got to this package. Yeah, it's a little bit overboard, but it's okay. Avraham Avinu, 10 Nisyonos. One of the Nisyonos, which all the, you know, the Rishonim have different calculations of what the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu are, but the Mechemes Malachim is considered one of the Nisyonos. The question is, like, what exactly was the Nisoyan, which means he went and fought with them, and the Rosh made Nisim for him in the fight, because I'll say different Nisim that he made, etc. So the Nisoyan wasn't the Nisim, that was the Rosh's business. So Pasha, the Nisoyan was the decision to go. So when you have a Nisoyan, you have two Stadim. You have two possibilities, and you choose one, and he chose the right one. So, like, what was the issue over here? Why was that the right one to go? Let's say he chose him to stay home. What would be wrong? So, I suggest that one approach, which is not what I want to go right now, is that, I mean, the decision over here was to endanger the Tzimin Chalmim's lives, because I'll say he was us and Gaia Tzimin Chalmim. He made a decision to use his B'nai Bayis, who were Tzimin Chalmim, to go to war, and that was wrong, because I'll fault him for that. But who was he going to war for? For Lot. Now Lot already had the fight. The Roy of Lot and the Roy of Roma had the fight. And he already sent Lot different directions. Lot chose to live by stone. Not the most savory place in the world to live. I think I told you once that there's a word from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that they took Lot, or Yikach Lot, Ben Achi Avram, Lloyd Bez Rechusha Ben Achi Avram, and they took him. Who Yosha Bistoim? So the Chassam Sofer says, should have said, Who Yosha Bistoim? But for Who Yosha Bistoim, present tense, he's on his way to Damascus right now. He ain't sitting in stone. The Chassam Sofer says, a person is where his mind is. Well, the Pasuk is telling me, even after he realized the result of his decision to live in stone, he didn't regret it, and his mind was still in stone. He's on his way to Damascus, but where is he? He's still Lichtenstein. He lit Lichtenstein. You know, he's still in stone. That's how he touched shot in the Pasuk. I once heard from Chaim Dov Keller, the Pasuk says, another occasion of the Pasuk, it says, Vayikach Loit, Vesruchushoi, Benachi Avraham. They took Loit, his Rechush, the nephew of Abraham, and they went. So he said, Yikach Loit Benachi Avram Es Rechushoi. Not Yikach Loit Ves Rechush Benachi Avram. His Rechush wasn't the nephew of Abraham, he was. Right? So he says, what's the Pasuk telling you? It was telling you, there, like, what happened? There is Loit, and there's Benachi Avram. He's the nephew of Abraham. What came between the two? His Rechush. That attitude of the importance of the Rechush is what split him up from being to carrying his legacy, being Benachi Avraham. He became Loit. That's what he said. Rechaim Dov Keller was Shlita one time, said Pshat.
Barry Wine's brother-in-law, yeah?
You know that one. Yeah, I know Rechaim Dov Keller. I know Rabbi Wine is Rabbi Keller's brother-in-law.
Yeah, I interviewed Rabbi Wine today. So he told me he helped found Hell Chicago.
Yeah. Two brothers-in-law.
Yeah.
Okay. So here he's making a decision to go put himself out for somebody who's clearly, and basically this person has made a decision to move away everything Avram stood for. He's rejected Avraham's values. He's went to a world of people which rejected his values. These people have been taken away. The cities are basically, the cities will be desolate. This value system has been removed. And Avraham has to make a decision to go save them. I would say, no. Baruch Hashem. They're gone. You know? And he made that decision. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu does chesed with people who don't deserve it. I also do chesed with people who don't deserve it. So you want to emulate the ways of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're willing to put your life on the line for somebody who has rejected you. That was a Nisoyan of the Mechama. That's what I wanted to suggest, Pshat. But I want to look at a different Pshat.
Is this Rabbi's Pshat?
My own Pshat, yeah. I mean, then somebody says it, so it's my, for now it's mine. You know, eventually we'll find somebody else that says it, so then it won't be mine anymore.
Sure.
Maimra Musker, just about that concept. I was once, I was in one of these, like, you know, these programs we have, bring in different speakers, etc. So one of the speakers there was, it said a mahalach to understand something, a story in the Chumash, which was very mechudishnik, and I was like, I felt that it didn't really fit with how Chazal and the before Shem understood it. So afterwards, there was this debate going on whether it was, you know, whether he was right or wrong, etc. So one of the people said to me, like, I said, it's so mechudishnik, it's so not. She said, but, you know, the geshmak in yeshiva was always the mimachadash of pshat nobody else said. So I said back to him, when I was younger, I thought like that also. But when you get older, you realize, I'd much rather find a pshat what other people said, because then I know it's right. Because it bothers me very much if there's been 5,000 people spoke about this and nobody said my pshat until now. We're very smart people, right? So the probabilities are it's because I'm wrong, not because I'm right. And punt, I got some pshat nobody else figured out. My nevus tells me, not Chris, nevus, my seichel tells, Yosher tells me that's probably not the pshat. You know. You learn the Gemara, like, you know, you say pshat, nobody else says it. I'm much happier, pshat, and I realize that Pnei Yeshua says it. I'm much happier with that than the other way. You know? There's another experience which you'll get as you get older, I've said mechadish pshatim and then found it afterwards underlined in my Pnei Yeshua. okay, I guess I remember the pshat. I didn't remember what the Pnei Yeshua said. I thought it was my own, you know. So that's another madriga.
When people plagiarized them, they just keep saying it until they thought it was their own. First he said it to Reb Chaim, then he said it,
Okay. So I want to maybe suggest a different pshat, which is I don't think it's really the pshat, but I think it's a good springboard to talk about the concept of erech atzma, the person having self-esteem. The packet is overly ambitious.
Oh my gosh,
I can't
do all that
today.
Okay, I tied it that it's really more along the lines that my eyes are bigger than my stomach. Okay, so don't get too nervous. So there's this musik of kavod. Then the Perek Yud Aleph, which he goes to the meat of the Kiyas, how everybody has to cleanse out themselves after all these different bad from mitzvahs and averus and mitzvahs rose. He talks about Kabbat. It's the last thing he talks about. Kabbat is the biggest pusher that there is in a person's life. Without Kabbat, clothing which covers his body, live in a house which saves him from the elements. He would be able to support himself fairly easily. I just saw a person was writing, a financial advisor, was writing. He made a chart. I should have printed it out for you. The cost of living to live in West Coast cities. Right, how much it costs? It says, let's say a person, the husband and wife together, make $350,000 a year.
San Francisco,
right. Wow. So he starts going through and says, so, you know, X amount is going to go to taxes, X amount is going to go to this. He says, at the end, you have discretionary funds. You have $120 left per month for discretionary funds.
Wow.
That's about tuition, probably.
Yeah.
That's with tuition. That's when you send your kid to, not from. No, go ahead, but you send you to private schools. So I was thinking, like, I said, Rebbe Shalom, how do you blow through $350,000 a year? I mean, he's putting X amount in retirement, but wasn't the large, And charity has charity also. He's like, I think, suppressed. He had, I think, $300 a month for charity. That's high for
1%.
That's high for
1%.
So
1%.
So Like, okay. So, kavod is this tremendously, the idea that I should have my stature, have my position. Why are you living in this nice house? Which you're he said his monthly mortgage over there, he calculated, I think, like $3,900 a month for the principal and the interest and the, you know, etc. Like, I'm paying less than that. You can come live my house. You know, the monthly payment in the car, you know, etc. Not like crazy sums, but you see the Masagim are different, you know. Rabbi Wein has a story, Taka. He was driving to some place in Manhattan, and as he pulls into the parking lot, there's a young man arguing with the parking attendant. You ever heard this story?
No.
It's a quintessential Rabbi.
I'll tell you a similar one he told me.
so this fellow's driving one of these cars. Which I don't even know the names of them. You know, that type. You know, like whatever. And he needs to park his car, and he has to go to a meeting. You know, there's some major executive. You know, for some major meeting, etc. And there's a big sign. There's certain cars aren't. They don't. The insurance costs of covering having these cars in the lots are too expensive for them. So they don't allow those cars. And the tenant is saying, you cannot park your car here. And the guy saying, I need to park my car. I got to get to this meeting, you know. He says, well, I'm sorry, but you cannot park your car here. You know, they go back and forth, etc. So he says, so he turns to everyone, like, what do I do? You know, just he's like some elderly, you know, older person, you know, sage advice. He says, want to trade? So what does any self-respecting grown man in that situation do? The guy sat down and he started crying. Like, the guy was like, who asked you to drive that stupid car? Like, what's the purpose of that car? Because this way you should look mechovedik. Like, that's it. Okay.
He was offered when he's living in Miami, he was offered multiple jobs in New York. Three jobs, I couldn't believe it. He was the head of the OU, which is what he had took. He was offered to run the Aguda also. He must be the only person ever offered both those at once. He was also offered to be the dean of OU. And he said Dr. Belkin tried to draw him into OU to sway him. So he said, I'll throw in a perk. I'll have a young guy, a bacher, a young guy every day, will park your car, will take care of your car, do alternate side parking. And so at the time, Rabbi Wein said, he said, I didn't appreciate what that meant. Like, from Miami, you find a parking spot wherever you want. There's never, who cares? Some guy's going to move my car. Once you go to New York, you realize what a great perk that is. You
know? Oh my gosh. Tell me about it.
Right?
Tell me about it. Okay, so that's on one side. Other side is clearly a person has to look at himself as a kosher person. So, for example, the Rambam on the Mishnah over here in Ovis, so Rabbi Shimon Omer, you should be Zohar Kriya Shema, Tal Atas Tosa Keva, and the other Mishnah says Mishnah Gimel Balti Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha. So the Rambam says Kishyachav Adam Atzmei Chaser Upachus Lo Yigdol Beinav Chaser and Shiaseu. If you don't look at yourself as being somebody chashev, you don't mind doing bad things. You have to look at yourself as somebody chashev. The Ben Yerno basically says something along the Shlo Yehi Rasha B'Fnei Atzav Sheni Yochel Lachzav B'Tshuva. If you look at yourself as a Rasha, Nim says Amis Yayish Liba Min HaTshuva Mibasa Ver Liyoda Huchuloi. Like, I'm such a bad person anyway, so what's the difference? I might as well do a Beirus. Okay, so that's the Rambam says the person has to look at himself as somebody chashev. Chavis Lavavis says that the element of having gaiva, b'chelik ha-meshuvach, the chelik which is considered appropriate to have gaiva, k'shegeus ha-odem al-chachmosav al-maisav al-toivim, nevasi mashu yodei al-harach ez gadol ha-chesed, shabari osa itoy, zesh nosin loyas yisernas halal, l'ubershim gave you opportunities. So that was such a special thing. Mashu m'sameach b'hem. The Rosh has pleasure from that. Well, if that's what it's about, I'm going to do more. And that will allow him to be machni himself to others. Well, it explains why that's true. I'm going to get back to that. But okay, so that's the Chavis Lavavis. Famous Rebbeinu Yonah, Shari Avodah. Mamish, beginning of Shara Avodah. The Shara Avodah is about how that a person would should be misnayig in tefillah, how the Kohanim would think about Karbonos. The first point you approach, he has to know how valuable he is. He has to know how his milo, and who his forebears were, how chashav they were. And therefore, he will constantly seek out to find a way that he should maintain himself in that high position. He's not about Talmud. Even though you set out small, you realize I shouldn't be where it ends. If he thinks he's doing something wrong, it's beats my dignity to do such a bad thing. But if you don't realize how chashav you are, so why shouldn't you do bad things? If you're not embarrassed when you do something wrong, means you don't perceive that you're valuable. Right? So it's a fascinating thought about uptight of our society. So I have the Mishnah telling me COVID is horrible, right? And I have the Rambam telling me that it's what to mean. It's haste, b'schoshim, the chavos of obis, and the Ben Yair. We're not talking about, we're talking about the Musar, On the other hand, at first glance, let's skip this next Rambam for a second. No, not the other hand. Betzim, that's the Mishnah Sanhedrin, bottom line of the page. So Rashi says, bottom Rashi, Choshavani ke'olam mole, and therefore la'etara es atzmi min ha'olam be'veri be'veri achas. I'm not going to allow myself to be pulled do a veris and pull myself out of that choshav place that I belong in, because I'm choshav like a whole world. We shouldn't think of the thought process. Okay, let's go back to the Rambam for a second.
Is there a thing like a person who's guilty, it's a hara kalanin, they should go and put themselves like in galos and like put on sock and whatever, isn't there?
The place nobody knows him, he knows he's not going to control himself, right? Okay. But,
Oh, I didn't. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Listen, there's the makhluk is there about even what that means. Somebody should learn that that itself is going to stop you.
Right. Now, the Rambam said like this. It's on the Rambam's on the right side of the page. On the last narrow line, Behinera Isi, end of that line. Sever Mesifri Hamidus. What was the happiest day of your life? They asked this chassid, right? This tremendously chassid. What was the happiest day of your life? Omer, he said like this. I was traveling on a boat. They put me down on the hold amongst the different items. Why you seen a sechir in Bali Mom? There was also traveling in the same boat. There were wealthy businessmen. I was lying down in the hold in my place. One of these Bali Mom came. Kamla Hashin had he had to relieve himself. He looked at me. He had such arrogance to look down at me. He urinated on my body, directly on me. I was I was like overwhelmed by how the level of brazenness in the person. But Rechai Hashem loikava nafshi l'maseokal, it didn't bother me at all. Well, he served me many koichi. I didn't have any wasn't aroused, etc. at all. Samarti simcha gadola shigati l'gvul shal yakaveni bizui hachos rahu regisha nafshi olav. I was so happy that it didn't affect me at all. Okay, that's the story. Right. So, at first glance, it seems to me this person that held himself so low that it was okay that somebody should physically relieve himself on him. Right. That's how they bring it. That's what we would be at first glance how you could read that story. But the truth is, I think that's not the shot. Okay. Let's go to page. Skip the next two pages. Go to the page from the Tzidkas HaTzadik. So Tzidkas HaTzadik says a Mishnah piece. I think I told you once outside. Kufnan Dalit. If you believe in a Kaddish Baruch, you have to believe in yourself. So let's get this straight, right? You know, I mean, I'm a real mess. You know, I've done a lot of errors. I'm a bad person. You know, and I have like all these problems that I have, and like, you know, every around me seems like so much more like with it, with the program and doing the right thing, and you know, comes easier to them, etc. Okay, so the answer must be Hashem like messed up when he made me, like, right? You know, he got the whole world right. All of the lions and tigers and bears are fine. You know, all of the people in the world are great, except for me. But you know, he really messed up when he made me. Chas v'shalom. If you truly believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you believe in yourself also. Hashem made you. Now, why did Hashem make you? The Hashem was interested in me. Now, that's a pretty major statement. I'm a nobody. Well, no, I'm not. The Hashem was interested in me. Shenenu poil botol, my actions are not insignificant. Shebin laylo ho, yebin laylo ova. That you know, one that he got, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Okay, so the shalachim is also nevdu veinam. Rat zorach laham kinaf shemim mekorach chaim yisbarach shemoy. Hashem yisbarach misanig with hashem bo. When I do mitzvahs, the Russian, it makes him happy. That when it says Moshe, Rutzar Lomer Klal Shishim Riboy Nafshas Yisrael B'Darahu, Hamina Hashem Yisbarach Chovitz Behem. So when they say Moshe, we mean anybody in Klal Yisrael, because Moshe is compared to the members of all of Klal Yisrael. It means all of Klal Yisrael looked at themselves and realized that they're important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechayev that you are important. It's a mishnah like a nakuda, and if you think about it, it's impossible to understand any other way. The Baruch Hu created the world for the purpose of man. That means me, and he made me exactly the way he made me. He could have made me, with the nature that I'm very relaxed and nothing bothers me, and I could sit and learn with the Hasmonah Rabba, like, you know, 95 hours a day, you know, like, you know, and I love doing chesed, you know, and, you know, he could have made me like that, but he didn't. Why? Because that's what he wants. He wants me to be like this, and he wants me to grapple with these issues, and he wants me, and sometimes I'll be successful, and I won't be successful. This is all what he wanted. This is how he made me. I'm going to say something which sounds extraordinary, like Adam Rishon was Chote, so Reb Chatzel says it from the Ramchal. He says means he was supposed to be Chote. Now he was supposed to be Chote, but he was supposed to be Chote. You know, because you get involved in Yediyah Bechira. But you can't say that the Baruch's plan was X, and Adam made the plan Y. Well, that doesn't work. How does it fit with Bechira? Great question. But it means, yes, man is fallible, man makes mistakes, man does things wrong. And now what? Okay, fine. Like, so the Eric, the person, there's no greater place to get a source of your how valuable you are. It's not the Baruch Hu made you like this. Shouldn't look a piece. I go back. So this is from this nice Chassidish Yid over here. So he brings a lot of Chassidish sources. He brings, of course, he brings from the Rebbe Mikotsk. 2 pages back. Move with Hashem, Rebbe Mikotsk. Kesheroy ha'olam yamin shemaisav chashumu ben noyim with Hashem Yisborach. You have to believe that your actions are valuable. Shayyaday shayakshem kach yizalim idnargin ladar. You'll keep doing more. Because they're not perfect, so then he'll talk to me, Mizrachik. He brings the Benny Yarno. He brings tell us Yaakov Yosef. Yaakov Yosef was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He says, Gamanov, Tzarech Lepom, and Midas Beninis. This is very important. Because he heard me remember our read, which is the Baal Shem Tov. If you're too much of an onav, you lose your avoda. Besides, her gosha shiflusai in a moment, kia adam garam ayeli tivlosai v'terosai shefo kol adam. I'm affecting the world. I'm a nobody. Shkoyach. Why should I try? Why is it important? What do you mean? Your actions impact the whole bria. Me, right? Means the labor is prohibitive. A cloud who she Adam Sarkli is on of a called the Rachel of Homaisa. She returned my buddies Hashem, Gamkin ye on of Castle Shalom American. Sarkhon Lerma Mitzvah and Yoisa, Hashuba Zesel Boris Borach, his work, Kabyoko, Yesha Tanuk, my Mitzvah, Shen Yoisa. Me? Okay. From Nachman Breslov, okay, we're really going out there, out in a limb.
What's this
safer? It's some Heidegger, you know. Likud, yeah. He has a different topics. See, Kasher, Chaser, Lord, the Mamuna, who Tzarek Labad, Avoidus, Kashis, Kale, Yahasig, is Masha, Yamagia, Lord, Bakalus, Ilhaisla, Muna. If he had a Muna, his Avoid would be much, would come easily. When it's difficult, then Simon doesn't have a Muna. Renosan Talmidoi, Kosev, Kasher, Omerlo, Renachman, Indianzem, when Renachman said this to Renosan, I was like overwhelmed because I know I have a muna and I know I have to work very hard. Part of your muna is that you have to believe in yourself also, and that's what you're lacking. And that's why your avodah is so difficult. So he brought a chazal like this. He says, "Kimi boz liyam katnus." Migram tzedikim she's baz vizu shulchanam losa. But why that their table means their reward is wasted? They katnus shahaya behem because they're too small. Rashi bir shom kim shulta katnus amuna. They're lacking in amuna. Okay. Okay, this is more in Saita. Amidikta Glosha Gemara Shomer Shom Katnus Shal Yibam Near Mibira the Rebbein is going to Racha Sheker Katnus Amuna Shalem Hoya Baatzmam. They looked at themselves as too much of a katan, and that's why their Olam Haba was too small. Because if they realized believe in themselves more, they would have accomplished more. Okay, so there's this beautiful Sefer now which came out recently called Baltosos Sancheni. They actually just translated the first volume into English. It's available in some Sforim stores. I do not remember the English name for it. The Mechaber's name is Bukachevsky or something like that. I happened to roll into a Sforim store somewhere recently, and I happened to notice like there was a copy. I said, "Oh my gosh!" They translated in English. It's a very good sefer, very chashuv sefer. So he has a whole parak with anava versus nechisus. Anava is a person has to be anava. Nechisus means you look at yourself as insignificant, and that's not, we're saying that's not true. You're very significant. Rabbi Tursky has his his series of books on low self-esteem. Right? So, I don't know. I have to tell you that I read all of them and still didn't help my self-esteem. Like, if you have low self-esteem, that's what he writes at the beginning of the book. You know, like, if you have low self-esteem, it's not going to help you.
So why write the book?
He says that all his books are based on, are basically just one idea, and it's self-esteem.
Right, but the problem is, like, but reading it doesn't help you. I mean, it helps you a little bit, like, but it doesn't. It's very hard to change a thought. You know, like, he has a story over there about a woman who, you know, graduated, you know, summa cum laude or magna cum laude, and she had, you know, this membership and this fraternity, all the, you know, and she, like, had problems getting, her problem was that she couldn't get, you know, develop a relationship with, get married, because she, like, always, like, why should anybody like her, like, well, you know, she's not. So he said, but yeah, you know, she says, and I'm not intelligent. He said, we're not intelligent, you know. Mm-hmm. Says, they made a mistake. You know, like, you know, like, it couldn't, it's a very challenging thing. But one of the fascinating things that he writes over there is that he suggests that the Peanuts comic strip is really a attempt to probe the various different types of low self-esteem. So he says, so Charlie Brown is clearly low self-esteem, right? Because that's, you know, just like, you know, he's a loser, etc. He says, there's a person who has low self-esteem and they cover it up by always making themselves better than everybody else and putting everybody else down. That's Lucy. There's a person who lives in a fantasy world. That's why he's called Shem in the fantasy world. And that's Snoopy. He's the flying, you know, the ace flying, you know, flyer from World War One. You know, there's a person who gets involved in some type of addictions. That's Linus with his blanket. You know, he's addicted to the blanket. He goes through, like, every one of the characters there is a different expression of low self-esteem. Right? But one of the most fascinating ones of all of them is Lucy. If you are totally comfortable with who you are, you have no need to put anybody else down. You have no need to respond if somebody puts you down. Because I'm not defined by you. If I let you define me, so the Chabad Lubavitch, I didn't put the piece in, the Chabad Lubavitch writes a Lashon, it's like a one-liner, which is like the whole Sefer is worth of that one-liner. He says that a person who has this Nechisus, etc., ain't shir l'nevodav. There's no limit to how many people in the world he serves. He's bowing down to every single person in the world is potentially has power over him, because I need his approval. I need approval. I need to feel that I'm valuable. I don't feel that I'm valuable. So what makes you feel valuable? Because you said I'm valuable. So now you say I'm not valuable. I feel like a mensch. So you can go, Rabbi Tursi writes and says that once he gave a lecture somewhere and he got positive feedback from 99 of the 100 people. One guy said it was a stupid lecture. And he all could focus on the one guy said it was no good. What's that say? Right, what's that saying? Well, you know,
I always look at the, when I give a class, I'm always like the one kid who's spacing out. I don't like it, you know. Like,
so why are you letting that one person who's negative defining you? Like, you know, do you feel that you prepared something well? That you said it was something which is important. Good. So then that person didn't get it. So you know what? Yeah, it's a challenge. You need to find a way to get through that person. That's a responsibility as a machanech. I heard an awesome line from a young man here in the high school. Like one of these lines that, you know, the level of maturity is like way beyond the average kid. He said to me he likes older Rebbeim versus younger Rebbeim. It was like, the thought process is the opposite. I said, why? This guy's probably like 16 years old. Okay? He says, older Rebbeim understand that when a student is challenging him, etc., it's not about the Rebbe, it's about the student has his problems. So he can focus on what's best for the students. A younger Rebbe needs to prove himself. He takes it personally. Wow. And he's thinking it's a statement about him, and he fights back. And he doesn't know what's best for the students.
That's very insightful.
It was like, wow, that was really insightful for the 16-year-old boy. You know, he's like that. This boy's like that. There's like, you know, he's like 16 going on 50, you know, something like that. You know? But he's right. You know, you get to a point in your life, I know I'm a good Rebbe. I don't need your approbation to know that I'm a good Rebbe. I know that I'm a good Rebbe. And if I'm not getting through to you in this initial, it means there's something bothering you and I have to figure out what it is. The first time you start teaching, you really need the feedback from the class to say, oh, we enjoy the class so much. You go, nobody liked the class. So I'm going to start wondering, am I a good Rebbe or not? And I want to feel like if I decide that's where I want to go, I need that approbation. I don't know whether I'm good at it or not, right? So we're totally, if one kid in the class says that was stupid, it's totally devastating. And I joke about it, Musa Shmuzin are not the most popular things in yeshivas. So when I come to say my shmuz, there's always guys like are walking out when I'm walking in, you know? it almost doesn't bother me. Like, it's not wrong with me. It's not that I'm, you know, it's they're not ready to hear Moshe yet, so it's not my problem, it's their problem, right? Like, one of the brothers said, asked me, does it bother me? I said, no, it doesn't bother me. Right? But imagine the first time I sang a Musa Shmuz, I'd be very challenged by that. Like, you don't want to hear what I have to say? It means there's something wrong with me. But I still have that same problem after I've been doing it for 10 years. I got a problem. I don't believe in myself. I understand something, it's new. I understand everything's new. You're not sure. You know, you need feedback to how well you did. After a while, you know how well you've been doing. You know that you prepared well. You know that you presented well. You know that that deals are important. You know, whatever the scenario might be. So I don't need your feedback to know that I did well. And if your feedback is negative, so that means that apparently there's something bothering you, so let me help you. So when the Chavos Avos says that a person who has gaiva in himself can be mechab at his friends and all those things, that's true. Because the focus is not on him anymore. But a person who doesn't have that, but he needs to know that he's valuable, he spends the whole day thinking about himself. So he becomes, not because he's a Balgaiva, because he's the opposite of a Balgaiva Batson. And that's the Kunda he's saying. If I feel that I'm lowly, and I don't like feeling like that, if I want to constantly prove that I'm not lowly, the whole day I'm thinking about what you think about me and how you react to me and what do I have to do to make sure that you like me. And it's all about, I'm constantly thinking about how I'm feeling. So I become the Merkaz of the whole universe. So how can I be able to Kodesh Baruch Hu from that position? But the person on the other end of the spectrum says, stop. You are valuable. How do I know? The Baruch Hu made you. And he made you just like you are, with all of your concerns and all of your milas. And he likes you. Like, okay. So you have your value. Avraham Avinu is going to make a decision to stand up against the whole world. Avraham Avinu's ability to stand up against the whole world, everybody tells him he's crazy, is because he knew how valuable he was in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so powerful that he was able to take a stand. He believed in his ability to deal with it. He said, I will teach you. You teach me. You're the Meshugana. I'm the Meshugana. I got it right. And I believe I can teach you something. I don't need your affirmation to know that I got it right. And therefore now I can focus on what you need. Ravina can run after, it says, I am going to fight with the Malachim. You out of your mind, you're fighting with the Malachim? Yes, I stand for what is right, I'm going to do that. So I know that's the Mamash Pshat and the Mechemes Malachim, but I was just wondering that there is an Akut over there. Avraham Avinu, multiple times we see him taking a stand against a world, or against, you know, powerful, you know, he stands, and he's not in his fault. So I remember I had this aura in the back. There's a sefer called Yad Yecheskel. So Yad Yecheskel was the Reb Chaskel Levenstein was in Shanghai, and one of the Talmidim wrote down the Shmuzin that they said, and or not all of them, but a lot of them, and he published it. The Shmuzin that Reb Chaskel said, it's not part of the regular Ori Chaskel set. It's his own personal ksavim, and he published it as a separate sefer. In the back, he has stories that Reb Chaskel said over, during the time. It's longer, shorter, etc. One of the stories, whether it's about Yerusel Salanter. Yerusel Salanter's original plan was to be a nister, like his Rebbe. Rebbe Zundel was a nister. Nister means that he kept himself, he pretended he was
hidden.
And this way, when nobody knows about you, it's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very focused. When people are aware of you, it's much easier to be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the back row than it is in the front. So, he made a decision, first of all, that if you want to present yourself as this ignorant boor, so you can't be seen learning Gemara. So he memorized all of Shas, verbatim, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, etc. So this way he could constantly be learning, but never be seen with a sefer. The second thing that he learned to take his very, very, very passionate, intense tefillah, and compress it into a emotionless, motionless, quick davening, like the guys who daven in the back, over there, with one foot out the door. So I'm reading this, and saying, if I knew Shas Bal Peh, I would like you to know that. Now, I'm not stupid enough to tell you that, but you can drop it here and there and make sure that you know that. The guy quotes the words, oh yeah, like Menachem, Nun Hey towards the bottom. You drop a few enough hints here and there, people will clap. Oh, I don't have really no Shas, He didn't want people to know that he knew Shas. The opposite. It's a distraction. Because his value was that he knew Kadosh Baruch Hu knew he was valuable, and that's it. So I don't need you to tell me that I'm good. I'm not defined at all by you. I'm defined by how I look at Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. And that is the only true source of value, and that is very powerful how valuable that is. So I can get up and make a stand in whatever I have to make a stand in if necessary. Because, you think I'm crazy. Okay, you think I'm crazy. So therefore what? Therefore I'm crazy? Right, but that's how 99.99% of the populace works. We're very, very sensitive to what people think about us, and people's definition, we allow that to define us, and it's totally ridiculous. And you see it like all the time. It develops. People develop this. So how am I going to prove that I'm valuable? So it could be because the type of clothing that I wear, or the type of car that I drive, or the position that I have, or the house that I live in, or the fact that I get to say what aliyah I get. They get me to say the drasha. I'm a kosher person because they put me number 3 in the lineup. They really should have put me number 2. Because the Rashiv of the Maestro has to go first. But really should have won. But the Maestro has to go first, so I go second. But the Maestro, they put me 6, so the guy's always mensch. Because it means they don't understand how valuable I am. He's not a bad person. Reb Chaskel said, I heard this from Reb Pesach, who learned in the Mir. He was in the Mir, he was in the Shanghai during the war. The Reb Chaskel one time said a line. He said, every person needs a spoonful of kavod every day. Yet a man stuff a left full of kavod, yet a talk. You have to know that you're valuable. Kavod means you're valuable. You have to know that you're valuable. The question is, where do you get that? What's the source of that? The person thinks he's worthless. He can't function. I really think that I'm worthless. So you'll do all the various, you'll do everything. What's the difference? Right? Or the person commits suicide. Hekel thinks I should be here anyway. But what is the source of your value? If I outsource, like nowadays we outsource everything. We outsource all of the work to China. We outsource our brain to the phone. We outsource we outsource our value to everybody around me. I mean, this is the other end of the spectrum of Rishos Salanter is the movie star. You know, if a movie star would be in a situation where one person would get up and boo them, they're oismensch. The mom is oismensch. Because their whole definition is because everybody thinks that they're wonderful. They get one negative review, and they push it, they can't handle it. Because the whole life is to live in the limelight and constantly be told, you know, and nowadays we've created with the social media, like, I don't even know too much about it, you know, like, that there's constant feedback of how valuable you are. Because there's likes. You know, I got my first like last week.
For me.
For you, yes.
I gave you another one today.
Like for why?
Apparently, it's my first like in my life. I feel very, very cautious.
I gave Rebbe a thumbs up.
Yeah. I didn't know that's called a like.
What?
On social media, it's a like. A text here.
I sent him a text. He sent back. You thumbs up. So that's called, I got a like.
I said, is there a shirt today? I said, yes.
So I got a notification from somewhere.
Well, Rebbe's not on iPhone, so it probably says, it probably just says, no, you're out of iPhone, yeah?
It says,
she come up and said thumbs up.
I got a notice that so and so liked me. So I was like, wow, I feel caution.
Wow.
By the way, I could actually do a heart. That's an option. You could do love. I didn't do love. I thought about you. I'm saving that for something better.
But you know, the psychologist said we're stuck in a situation where people constantly are. The addiction is covet.
Right.
I want to be valuable. Therefore, I'm willing to share every single personal detail about my life, which is ridiculous, because people will think I'm a good person. I'm valuable. I'm likable. I'm something that you know, I'm interesting. I'm whatever it is. Like, plus that we lost any self-worth. It's totally outsourced. Like, you know, it's a scary thing. But you have to have an Evis. Right, you know, this we have to have self worth, and the self worth means, you know, what that Chabad Lubavitch is saying is the Mishnah de Gazach. He says, "V'gavoso geremesloi ulihisnag b'hachno imachem karavim." Your gaiva means the fact that you feel chasher about yourself. Will be cause you to be knowing, I can lower myself in front of somebody else. I'll be happy with my friends. I will be careful about their covet. I will cover over if they say something stupid. Because I don't need to prove that I'm good because you're bad. So I'm very comfortable with what I am. Whatever I am, I'm not perfect. You know, I have my mother. So I can focus on, you're a nice guy. Oh, you made a mistake. Let's call you out and tell everybody how stupid you are. Chas v'shalom, I'm going to find a way to make sure nobody notices. Because the focus is not on me. That's the nevus. So with the guy becomes a nevus. In the sense of, I'm so not worried about me, and I'm so worried about how everybody else is. I don't look at myself as anything special. They have special treatment. I know that I'm special, because Kadosh Baruch Hu made me like this. That's it. So, in Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, I'm special. But, you know what? Bershom's eyes, you're also special. You know, I was talking about the conference is a little bit of a different issue, but it ends up tying in a little bit. The conversation simply was about the concept of Schar V'Onish. And the person didn't like the idea of Schar V'Onish. Like, you know, you serve Kadosh Baruch Hu because it's the right thing to do, and because you love him, etc. Why is the Schar V'Onish thing so important? So I told him, I said, imagine like this. Imagine a father has five sons. And his youngest son is this very, very altruistic, selfless individual. And he really spends his whole, all the time helping his brothers, taking care of them, being there for them, etc., etc., to the point that he's not really taking care of himself. So one day he says to his father, you know, I'm sure you're so happy when they could take care of all your children, you know, help them. He said, I'm not happy. He said, why are you not happy? He says, because I have five children, you're only taking care of four, not five. you're taking care of the other four, but not yourself. You're also valuable to me. So Skarva Odesh is the way for Kadosh Baruch Hu to say that you're valuable to me. The way the person says what you do is significant is because there's impact to what you do. There's positive and negative impact. It means what you do is significant. It's very significant, important to me. Without Skarva Odesh, so what's the value of my Meisim? I wouldn't know that it's valuable. But Rav Aaron Kotler takes a step weiter. The mice, if you look at the world, it seems to be more Einish sided than Tzchar. Like most people are not doing it so well. Right? He says, what does it tell you about the. What does it tell you that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the concept of Bechira, that you should be able to choose, and therefore when you do it, it's yours, and you're going to feel good about it, is so important to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he's willing, as it were, to let the human beings, which he cares about so much, be hurt in order that when it goes well, they can feel good that they did how well they did. That's how valuable it is to him. It's a measure of the value. Like, you want to know how valuable something is to you, how much you're willing to pay for it. Right? The guy tells me, you know, learning is very, very important to me. Okay, how much are you willing to pay for it? How much are you willing to forgo for learning? He says, you know, learning is important, but if I have to ever, it's going to cost the extra $50. I can come back, you know, a day later. So, you know, I'll come a day later because the mice say $50. So I know how valuable your learning is to you. It's not worth $50. Right. Okay, maybe I don't have the money. Okay, well, that's, you know, the other cheshbon. But so then it's not the $50. It's the loss of taking care of my family that value is, right, whatever it is. The Bereshim says that when every time I punish a rasha, I'm in pain. The Bereshim says klanim roshi, klanim roi. Every time Bereshim punishes a rasha, he has pain. So we could arguably say that the Rosh Hashanah has tremendous amount of pain for what's going on in the world. And it's worth it for him, because that's the value, to be able to give you the message of how important you are to him. That's how valuable we are to Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Right? So if we could just, you know, internalize that and absorb that, I think it's a Mishnah in the Kudra Rebbe is saying. I mean, there's 7.5 billion people in the world now, 8 billion people in the world. Right, if you want to do your Gehenna Gan Eden scale, you know, I mean, I can't measure because I don't know, right? You know, I think more than half is going to the Gehenna side. So what does it tell you about how valuable we are? It tells you we're really valuable. The Bereshit has created a world where it's worth it for him to lose all of that and have all that pain. In order, we should know how valuable our actions are. We should feel good about it. I don't know. We live in a society where, like, you know, anybody does something which is the opposite of me, I rip the guy to shreds. What am I saying about myself? I'm saying that I don't think I'm valuable. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of true guy for him. The true person who knows how valuable he is and truly is uplifted. You know, you think I'm bad, you say I'm bad, I'm like, okay, fine, so that's what's with me. You know, I mean, we live in a society now, like, you know, like everybody immediately responds to any negative comment. There has to be a response. Like, you know, I mean, we live in Washington, D.C., you know. That the politicians, that, like, it's a constant, it's a game, you know, it's again, and again. I don't follow it, especially I'm not interested in hearing it. It's just, it's so, like, foreign to a normal human being's thought process. Politicians are the other group, which, you know, nothing, I have fixed it, nothing bothers me. Really? So why do you keep tweeting? Really? Like, who are you fooling? You're not fooling, I mean, maybe you're fooling a lot of people, but you're not, but any person who stops to think realizes that, you know, you have no self-esteem. And therefore, you need to constantly put everybody else down and prove how wonderful you are. Both sides, you know. And it's such the antithesis of what the Torah is offering us. And that's in Sashorim, you know, page 1, right? You know, that this nekud of kavod is the doiches leib adam yorsim mikol chukas chenash abadam, because kavod is the definition of the human being being important, being significant. Everybody has to know that they're significant. Everybody has to know in some way that in some way they are important in the scheme of the world. You cannot live without that. So that's going to push you. The stupidity is how people try and get it. Okay, so we got through half of the pack.